friends. You're listening to Irish Radio Network USA, and my guest, a regular guest on this program indeed, and always the bearer of good news, Joe Byrne, who is the Chief Executive for Tourism Ireland and North America. Joe, you're very welcome.
Thanks a million, Adrian. It's always glad to be back. You say that I'm regular, but it's one of those regular things that I never get fed up doing. It's always a great pleasure. Thank you.
And you bring good tidings. You bring good news, particularly for this year. Before we even get into the big year of next year, tell us about this year and tourism figures.
I'd be glad to. The figures are one thing, and the figures are actually good. This year is better than last year, and last year was excellent.
So
it means that it's better than excellent in terms of numbers and in terms of the visitor spend. Just to be boring for a minute about figures, because there's always a lag between the Central Statistics Office when they count the visitors and feed the information, they only recently fed the revised figures, the final figures for last year, for 2011. Mm-hmm. And they showed that visitor numbers from the United States and Canada had actually increased by 8%. Initially, they thought that it increased by 6%. But more importantly to the business that we're in and to the real tourism was that holidaymaker figures from North America increased by 15%. So that's a huge increase.
Oh,
and this year is even better than that. And I predict that when the final figures are in, and it'll be, the middle of next year before we have the revised final figures, they will show that holidaymakers have probably grown by another 10% on top of that. So in terms of market share, and that's, I suppose, is how we have to measure ourselves, Ireland is currently enjoying its highest share ever of the U.S. travel market to Europe. Now, that's a great position to be in. But I'd be the first to say that it actually has very little to do with the work that we in Tourism Ireland do. It really has to do with the fact that the Irish tourism product is just a fantastic experience that visitors who go from the United States to Ireland just love what they experience there.
Mm-hmm.
And, I suppose there has been such a lot of challenging news out of Ireland over the past couple of years that maybe we're not as receptive to the good news as we should be. And the tourism story from North America to Ireland is excellent news. And even better news is that everybody who goes comes back saying, that was a fantastic place where I spent the last couple of weeks.
There are a couple of questions, which come to mind. And the number of visitors, the satisfaction that is felt by everybody who goes. I mean, I hope we don't jinx it, but it's very difficult to find somebody who, not only in the experience of going to Ireland, but don't come back and say, God, it's a great place and it's much more affordable than it used to be. Let me ask you about how that translates into the Irish economy. Obviously, I'm not trying to answer my own question, but obviously people notice that there is great value in Ireland. But how does that feed into the exchequer?
Yeah, it feeds into it in the most concrete ways. The first thing I would have to say that, Ireland draws its tourism from a number of markets. Great Britain is the biggest market numerically. The German and the French markets are important markets. And the United States is actually at number two in terms of visitor numbers. But in terms of the length of stay, visitors from North America stay about 9 or 10 days in Ireland.
Mm.
And because of that, they visit many regions. So in terms of regional development, the effects of tourism from North America are very widely felt around the island of Ireland. It's felt in Kerry, it's felt in Connemara, it's felt in Carlow, it's felt in Mayo, it's felt in Northern Ireland. When I say that it's felt, it means that there are people working in jobs in hotels and in restaurants and visitor attractions that wouldn't be working if the tourists weren't visiting those areas. So it's as concrete as it can actually be. In terms of figures, the amount of money spent by visitors from North America is about $900 million a year. And that's a lot of money. Hmm. But when you look at the multiplier effect of it, the fact that tourism has such a low import content, the fact that it is such a big employer, because you know you have to have somebody who's serving the breakfast, who's greeting visitors and all the rest of it, the effects on the real economy go way beyond what that very impressive figure might suggest. So it's very, very real.
This would not apply, I don't think, to Carlo, but those of us in the west of Ireland who are of the opinion that never good Joe did west of the Shannon get their fair dues. And even in the height of the Celtic Tiger, the western seaboard felt that, of course, the East Coast, excuse me, and the other side of the Shannon always seemed to do better. Now, figures do not support that. But there's one area, and that is the tourism product. And the tourism area that actually even the begrudgers would have to say, that's where now we're getting our share of it. Now we're getting something that we usen't get. Yeah. So that fellas like myself who, you know, 20 years ago were saying that Ireland and tourism doesn't think there's anything north of Galway. It was a great kind of cliche to hang on to, because I am of the opinion that we thought if we did play the poor mouth that actually we get a bit more. How in the island of Ireland, how does that play out, and how is it that the distribution is so much better than it used to be?
There's a couple of factors that have driven that improved distribution, but they've driven it because of one truth, that people go on their vacations where they want to go, not where we want them to go.
Mm-hmm.
That we can say, you know, that we have a strategic objective that people should go to this part of the world and they should engage in this.
Mm.
And they don't do that just because we want them to do it. Mm. The reason that people go to any part of Ireland for vacation or for a couple of days of the vacation is because they want to go there. And the reason that they want to go there is that there's something there that they want to do.
Mm.
So the product development, the range of not just accommodations, and you know the right. accommodation product is now so fantastic and it's so widespread, but the range of golf courses, of walking routes, of equestrian centres, of interpretative centres, etc. And you know, in your own county Mayo, and I'll just instance a few of them. If you look at the Cager Fields, what a fantastic way of spending a day or 2 days or 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to golf in one of the most fantastic areas that God has ever created, you'd go out to Cairn. Do you know what I mean? To see Cairn. If you want to work off a few of the pounds that you've put on by sitting in an office in New York or in Boston or in Chicago or somewhere else, what better way to do it than to take a bike on the Greenway or to go walking up the Reek? And I'm just taking your own county, but I could do that for each of the 32 counties of Ireland, where you really have an industry that has never sat on its laurels. We have never stopped reinventing ourselves, and we never stopped beating ourselves up about these people enjoy themselves, but what can we do more? And when I spoke about the figures earlier, I would be misleading if I pretended to say that we're on some sort of a roll that's going to continue automatically.
Mm.
There's nothing automatic about it.
Right.
We have to recreate the market every year. And by we, I don't mean just us in Tourism Ireland, but the hoteliers, the restaurateurs, the people who actually invent the product in Ireland and supply the product in Ireland. So it's a constant battle. And that battle is about saying to somebody, you're going to have a better time in Ireland than you're going to have anywhere else.
For the second and last time, I do want to mention the Celtic Tiger. And whereas everybody, or most people, say, oh my God, what a disaster that was. And there are certain things that cannot be denied. We wound up with the most amazing infrastructure in Ireland that we didn't lose. As a matter of fact, I would venture to guess that maybe it has to be a huge boost in the tourism development of Ireland that we have both. We have, you know, easy access. We have, you can get from point A to point B without anywhere on the island without the the disadvantage of it taking forever and a day and whatever. It's there.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're dead right. The Celtic Tiger certainly was not all bad. One of the concrete benefits is what you've referred to. That is a road infrastructure that is really second to none. Mm. You can now travel across Ireland in about 2.5 hours. It'd be a pity to do that.
Yeah.
You can do it. You can go to Northern Ireland, or you can go to the Cork in you know, an hour and a half and 3 hours respectively from Dublin.
Right.
My own son and grandchildren and daughter-in-law live up in Downings and Donegal, which is about as far away as you can get from Carlow, where I was born, or from Dublin, where my our most recent home is. But that distance, I suppose, has been cut in half just because of the road infrastructure that's there, and that's a very tangible way. It did pose a difficulty for us in a peculiar way, in that one of our objectives and one of the things that I spend a lot of my time at is to make sure that the airlines are flying loads of aircraft all the time, mm-hmm. ideally on a 12-month basis, to the three airports in Ireland, Belfast, right. and Shannon and Dublin. And because airlines, you know, had the difficulty that they had, mm-hmm. When they'd be in their office and they'd look at a map and they'd say, okay, so Joe, you want us to fly into Belfast and you want us to fly into Dublin and you want us to fly into Shannon. How far apart are these? And then I would say, well, actually, you can get up there by road in about an hour and a half or 2 hours, and you can get across there in about 3 hours. And they sort mm-hmm. of said, well, look, we don't really do that in any other country. But I'm delighted to say that they've broken their own rules for 2013, for the Year of the Gathering. And I know we're going to be talking about the gathering, but maybe let me just start that by saying that one of the most tangible pieces of evidence that the gathering is real, that it's going to bring real and long-lasting benefits, is the fact that not one, not two, not three, but four airlines have actually increased their capacity to Ireland for next year, for 2013. Aer Lingus has announced that it's going to put on an additional aircraft that will serve Chicago and Boston. Mm-hmm. American Airlines are going to run a brand new service from JFK into Dublin, which is great. United Airlines are going to run a brand new service from Chicago into Shannon. And US Airways just last week announced that they're going to run a brand new service from Philadelphia into Shannon. The reason that the airlines took these decisions is because they say, we think that there's something to this gathering. Obviously, more people are going to want to go to Ireland next year.
Right.
And we have that fantastic increase. It works out at about 17% for every week of the peak season next year. There'll be 17% more seats than were available this year. Obviously, we hope that will put manners on the airlines in relation to fares as well.
Right.
The airlines will say, well, we hope that we'll be all flying full and that we'll be able to push the prices up, because airlines have to make money in some time, and we all recognise mm-hmm. that. But I would have to say that there are great fares for the peak in the marketplace at the okay. moment. So anybody who is in a position to lock in, they should actually plan their trip now and buy those fares while they are available.
What happens to those who now book for next year and who have their itinerary all set, and then with the new level of competition, because it is when you have competition, nothing is better than having some airlines make adjustments to come out as number one. Where is the is there a danger there that those who might say, you want to know something, with all of those airlines going in and with the great program of the gathering, which we're going to talk about, maybe we ought to wait and see what happens. Or maybe the peak season is not geared towards giving value for family. This is before you ever get to Ireland. Yeah. On the airlines, on the airfares, what do you say to somebody who...
I was actually just reading an article about it as late as this morning on the way in the train, and it was about the iPhones, and people were asking mm-hmm. the same question. Do you know what I mean? You go in first and you pay the price, and then suddenly it's $200 cheaper. You right. know, so there is a risk that's involved, and I'm not pretending that there's not mm-hmm. a risk that's involved. But let me tell you what I'm doing. I am booking my peak fares now.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So it's not to say that I mightn't be kicking myself in a few months' time
right.
when fares might come down. But I do believe that the value is fair at the moment.
Right.
I think that there are good fares there that are certainly much, much better than were available in any time in the recent past. So I'm happy to do it at that.
Great.
And when you add to the fact that, you know, we have that competition in the air,
mm.
The fact that the competition on the ground in Ireland for visitors is also great, it means that the value for money for accommodations and for other tourism products allied to the airfare means that really Ireland is offering very, very decent value for money at the moment.
Good. Well answered. And when you talk about the risk that perhaps it might well be that there will be last minute deals, last minute offers, that would even sound much better to those who are going to assume that with the additional flight, with the additional seats, that even gives us another reason to wait. The truth of the matter is that none of these airlines would increase their capacity and their seats allotment if they didn't think they were going to have a full...
Oh, no, you're absolutely right. And I know that it's cold comfort to anybody who was trying to plan and who was planning to go to Ireland this year and who did actually go to Ireland. But it is a fact that even in the peak season, during the peak season, that the airfares that were available to Ireland were still $200 or $300 cheaper than
they
were to any other European destination. Do you know what I mean? So Ireland does have a competitive
advantage.
But
there, yeah.
Overall, there is indeed resistance on the part of people to spending the sort of money that airlines were asking them to spend
right.
during this peak season. And we got it in the office all the time. You know what I mean? It was
mm-hmm.
the number one thing saying, we want to go, but we find the old airfares a bit steep. And we're not smart, Alex, so I don't say, well, it's lucky that you weren't planning to go to some other country because it would have been even more expensive. Do you know
yeah.
what I mean? But I am delighted, Adrian, that we do have that increasing capacity for next year.
Right.
It really is very, very good. And within that, the fact that two of the airlines, US Airways and United, are putting on those daily services to Shannon
mm.
really does mean that a lot of visitors will now be facilitated to go to the heart of where they want to go on vacation.
Right.
I mean, we have mobile visitors and they will visit Belfast and they will visit Dublin and they will visit Galway and all the rest of it. But an awful lot of our visitors do want to get to the west of Ireland, and that gateway that Shannon represents, it's a very special part of the infrastructure
Definitely,
of
yeah.
Irish tourism.
Is it? Now let me ask you about the commitment of the airlines. Obviously, they see the market. They're also not oblivious to the tremendous promotion that is going for the gathering for Ireland for next year. At what point do you think the airlines might say, you know, I think we got the best of it now, and that the summer season will end, and they say, listen, we've got a good pot of gold now. Why not, you know, why even risk the daily flights to schedule for the rest of the year? Do we have to wait and see?
No, we don't. No. I would be very sure that the services that are in the systems, as they say, in the airline booking systems, are very genuine. They're organised in 6 month chunks. They've already organised. They've already committed to the services that will bring us through to the beginning of October of 2013. So they're real. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. After that, they're
committed to that. They're absolutely committed to that, and people are booking on those. And you know, you have it, of course, if you book a flight that doesn't actually go, but that won't happen. I mean, they are genuine, and they will go. But you mentioned it yourself earlier, and I didn't mention it, that an awful lot of people and an increasing proportion of people are travelling outside of the peak season. Do you know what I mean? And part of the motivation for that is the fact that there are better airfares.
Right.
But that's only part of the motivation. It also is that, yet again, the range of things to see and do really throughout the year in Ireland has improved out of all proportion, out of all recognition over the past few years. That I'm not saying that necessarily for North American visitors, that it's a real 12-month vacation destination.
Right.
But it is a 9 or a 10-month vacation destination, and the range of visitor attractions and the range of facilities that are available from really the beginning of March right through the end of October and indeed into November is quite remarkable, and not what you or I grew up with, really.
Yeah. Okay, now having thrown out all the trump cards, the gathering. What and how at this stage of the game, despite some of the bed mouthing that has gone on and the various interpretations that perhaps the government, the ministers might have jumped the gun somewhat with this and announcing so forth. So you have all of this, you have the success. We still haven't gotten the feeling that about what the gathering is, and if we think we have it, it becomes added to almost on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
Okay, so as of today, what is the gathering according, to the man who runs North America? Yeah. Tell us.
Well, I'll preface the answer, and I will tell you, but I'll preface the answer by saying two things, if you don't mind. And one is that I actually have spent all of my career promoting Irish tourism.
Mm-hmm.
And your listeners can't see it, but I'm an old fella. Do you know what I mean? So I've been at it for several decades.
I've no problem in vouching for that.
and in all that time, Adrian, I genuinely have never come across any concept or any idea that has generated as much support and enthusiasm and goodwill as the gathering has.
Great.
Even when people weren't very sure what it was, they said, I love the idea.
Yes.
You know what I mean? They'll tell us what it is. But therefore, it has real support. It's something that's very real and very genuine. And I look forward to telling you what it is. But I also want to maybe deal with what you mentioned as very delicately as some other interpretations of the gathering and of the welcome and that. And it goes back to what I was saying a little while ago about satisfaction levels. We in the Tourist Board, in Tourism Ireland, with our friends from Fáilte Ireland and the Northern Ireland Tourist Board, are slaves to research. So we really ask people before they went, before they go, why are you going to Ireland and what do you expect to find there? And we ask those same people when they come back from their vacations in Ireland, well, how did you get on and how did Ireland score against the things that you said were important to you? And there are three big things that come across in terms of why people go to Ireland and what they expect to do there.
Mm-hmm.
And the first is that they expect that it's going to be a beautiful place. You know, the scenery and the natural, easy to access landscape
mm-hmm.
is a big motivator. And, you know, maybe we underestimated those of us who were lucky enough to grow up with
right.
surrounded by that. So this scenery and nature is a big deal. The second big deal is that there'll be interesting things to see and do, that there'll be an interesting heritage and a culture that they can easily interact
right.
with, that there'll be, you know, activities to engage in, that there will be contact with you know, the Ireland's history and historical artifacts, etc.
Right.
And the third bit is, and this is before they go, they say that, and we also expect to meet friendly, pro-American,
mm-hmm.
You know, welcoming people. And when they come back, we then ask them, well, how did you get on, and what do you think of that? And they say, the scenery was as good or better than we expected it. And the things to see and do were richer than we expected it was good. But when it comes to people, we go through the roof. They say, mm. what made it special for me, and the reason I'm going to tell all my friends about it, and the reason that I can't wait to get back, is because of the extraordinary welcome. So any suggestion that Americans don't feel welcome,
right.
and any suggestion that they feel patronized by people that are sniggering or laughing at them
hmm.
couldn't be further from the truth.
We know. And
it absolutely could not be further from the truth, Adrian.
And, you know, getting away from one man's opinion, let us talk about, you know, you mentioned three aspects there which are terrific. What if I were running, you know, instead of a radio program in America, but if I were running Tourism Ireland, you know, if I had your job, which is a great job, I would first of all say, what do you think of the value? You know, for those who went a few years ago
yeah.
and felt that they were, you know, heading into a Europe that was wildly expensive compared to,
yeah.
you know, the dollar fluctuation and all the rest of it. I would imagine that many people would say, well, first of all, you know, we got the idea for money. Has
yeah.
that moved?
Yeah.
Has that gone an assumption?
Yeah. Yeah. I suppose, you know, people don't go to Ireland or they don't go to any destination in Europe because it's cheap. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they sometimes stop themselves from going because it's too expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? It's not a positive factor, but it can be a barrier. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Airfares can be a barrier. And if people are coming back saying, we had a great time, but God, it was terribly expensive.
Right.
That's not good for you.
Mm.
But that situation has genuinely, in terms of the value and the money,
right.
the value for money on the ground, that has transformed itself in recent years. Do you know what I mean? That we did have an issue where more people regarded Ireland as
right.
as expensive than regarded it as good value. Now we're absolutely in a reverse situation where people are saying it really is very, very good value. So that's not a problem. That is to do with exchange rates as well as costs on
absolutely.
The ground. Exchange rates have gone in to the advantage of the dollar, and the prices on the ground, particularly for accommodations and the sort of accommodations that are used by American visitors, which, you know, includes everything from bed and breakfast to five-star
yes.
hotels.
And God knows we have plenty of hotels.
Yes, absolutely.
So another benefit really of the,
yes.
you know, of the period where...
Yeah.
Whatever else you might say, hotels are there, and each hotel in each area needs to be full. They don't need to be looking, you know, across the Shannon, or for that matter, north or south, and say, and saying, well, you know, we're here and alone. They have the full realization that they need to step up to the plate, and they are.
Absolutely.
And they have.
And they are stepping up to the plate, and as I say, the value is excellent, but it is not value that, you know, it has driven quality down. The quality is excellent as well.
Mm-hmm.
That was a long preamble to your question. What's the answer? But the gathering is three different things. First of all, it's a fantastic program of events throughout
yeah.
the year. So Ireland will be full of events, and there's not a town or a village or a county in Ireland that is not organising one or two or three events, you know, be it a homecoming from the people from there that you know, went overseas, be it a school reunion, be it a football festival, be it a traditional Irish music festival or whatever. So the program of events that people can engage in next year is going to be richer than ever before. The second thing is that it's actually an opportunity of us to an opportunity for us to tap into the huge goodwill that exists on the part of Irish Americans and people of Irish heritage and people who were born in Ireland,
mm-hmm.
to say to them, you can actually play a part in Ireland's economic renewal, because you can come home on vacation, or you can bring your friends home, or if you're in business, you can bring your business colleagues home, etc.
Right.
And in a very real way, you will be supporting Ireland's renewal, but you will also be enjoying yourself, and you'll be having a better time than you have anywhere else.
Right.
At the same time as doing, playing your part to help in something which you love. I mean, you love the island of Ireland by definition. And the third thing is that it actually is a huge injection of pride in what being Irish and being of Irish stock means.
Mm-hmm.
And that has a legacy effect that will go way beyond 2013.
Okay, to allow me one last crack at playing devil's advocate here, for many is a long year, and indeed through your own double assignment here in taking over North America and tourism, people associate the term tourism, and the first thing, so it is Tourism Ireland. And it took us quite a long time to adapt to discoverireland.com. And we're used to this. Now, all of a sudden, we are mithered, which is a west of Ireland word to say we're scratching our heads as to why, with such a brand as discoverireland.com, we're now expected to go to thegathering2013.com. Pray tell. What's that about?
Okay, well, I'm glad to be able to confuse you further, Adrian, because if there's one URL, if there's one website name that your listeners should remember for all time, it is Ireland.com. Mm. Ireland.com.
And which begs the question, well, when did that happen, and why weren't we doing that, you know, forever and a day? Because that sounds like an obvious one.
Yeah, and the reason was that Ireland.com, that great name, Ireland.com, was actually owned by somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And they were using it and they were trading on it. It was actually the Irish Times.
Right.
But as part of an agreement between Tourism Ireland and the previous owners, we have now acquired Ireland.com. And next week, we will be officially turning on probably the best tourism destination website that the world has ever known, with the URL Ireland.com. People who go on to thegatheringireland2013.com, people who go on to discoverireland.com,
mm-hmm.
they will be redirected to Ireland.com. And Ireland.com will also provide all the information that you need and all the links out to the gathering, so that anybody who wonders what's happening in the month of June, where in Ireland, for example, will be able to go to Ireland.com and be linked to that very, very easily. But Ireland.com is going to become the brand name for everything to do with promoting and with planning a vacation to Ireland. So Ireland.com it is.
It's great to have one-upmanship, but if you have one-upmanship with yourself, there is nowhere, we have no further expectations. Ireland.com, that's it. It's great. I mean, that is a huge announcement.
It is indeed. It is indeed. It's a big announcement. But Ireland.com is only the sign hanging over the door. What's in the shop is absolutely outstanding. So I hope that everybody, and it's being turned on the 28th of this month, the new wow. website. It really will be a world beater in terms of telling you everything that you've ever wanted to know and making it so easy to plan your Irish vacation.
There is so much information, and I've said this and I mean it, for those who choose to go to Ireland, even though they think they might know it inside out, for those who choose to go and do not go to the website and see what is available, updated, many additions, they're missing out on something. And I managed to do that myself for ages. I didn't think anybody knew Ireland and knew what was happening because I was on top of everything. And it became, a reluctant surprise to find out I don't. And too many things are there. It's almost trying to, go with blinkers on because you think you're smarter than you are.
Yeah. And I suppose that for next year is more true than ever, that there are just so many events, really great events, that are taking place throughout 2013 just because of the gathering that I can't keep up to date. Mm. You know what I mean? And I'm paid to keep up to date, and I try to keep up to date, and I go into the site a few times a day. Every time that I turn it on, I discover that there are more events that have been that have been added. And I would say, just in terms of the reason that they're being added, is that the organisation on the ground in Ireland for the gathering is not something that has been organised. It's that people decided themselves that they wanted to be part of this. So it wasn't me or anybody else saying you should do this. They have organised themselves. You mean that they're volunteering, they're pledging these gatherings, but they're feeding the information in. So we're able to put it up on Ireland.com. And then we direct people to that through the various gathering avenues.
We can't improve on that. And so the day has come. And I think one aspect that you might want to emphasize is people are not waiting to see what opportunities are coming up, what's going to be added, whatever. A lot of people here are becoming part of a Mehel, part of a clique.
Yeah.
And they're organising their own stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. They are indeed. And again, through the website, you can actually see the sort of events that people are organising. If they choose to put up the information. But it's everything from, I actually had a chap in the office this morning who is organising high school American football teams.
Mm-hmm.
1,000 people, 1,000 students. Well, it includes their parents and camp followers as well, have a series of events planned for next year. There's a man that we both know from the neighbouring parish in Connecticut, who had planned to have his wedding somewhere in Virginia. He's now having it in County Clare because of the gathering. There's a school in Tullow, my own town, that is sort of calling out to all its alumni to come back at a certain time. Do you know what I mean? Anybody who attended the school. And they're just three examples of what is happening. So it's very real and it's very tangible. And an awful lot of people from here are also taking the opportunity to bring these what are called multi-generational trips. You know, bringing everything from grandparents to great-grandparents, if they're still with them, to grandchildren, do you know what I mean, over, and using the gathering as a year to do that. But there are a couple of organised big gatherings then as well, and there are three families, the Fitzgeralds, the Stacks, and the Gallaghers, and they're trying to outdo one another to have the Guinness Book of Records for the biggest clan gathering. I think the Gallaghers are saying that they'll get 5,000, and the others are trying to even improve on that. That's a lot of people that are going purely because of these events, which are would not happen but for the gathering.
Joe Byrne, we can go to discoverireland.com. We can go to thegathering2013.com, but Ireland.com, can't wait to see how that rolls out, and it's very easy. I'm delighted.
Great. Thank you very much indeed.
Also, friends, for those who would like to speak with somebody, and we do like to talk to live bodies, 1-800-SHAMROCK has not disappeared. As a matter of fact, it is there for those who have questions and for those who are not tech savvy. And that would be...
And it's very widely used, and we look forward to anybody ringing through on 1-800-SHAMROCK to talking to them about their plans for a vacation in Ireland. You're absolutely right. There's still hundreds of people who contact us every week by telephone, and we're delighted to speak to them in that way.
Remember where you heard it first. Ireland.com, coming soon on the 28th. Thank you, Joe. Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA.